This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Atlanta, what's going on? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying,
hey, man.
Hope you are having a great Thursday. We certainly are. This hour is brought to you by our friends at the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at mancavestore.com. We got a lot to dive into. Garth Lagerwey is going to join us in less than 12 minutes from now. And he is the president and CEO of our Atlanta United squad. They have a chance to do something nobody thought they'd do on Sunday, taking on Orlando and advancing in these MLS playoffs. But he's got a big decision to make as to where this franchise goes and what it's going to look like moving forward. We will talk to him about the match and much more. We had a great conversation with Brad Guzan. For those who missed it yesterday, and 17's Atlanta United fans, stand up. This team has been up and down, but right now we are riding this wave, Mike, of success. And listen, for us, Mike and I, we've been down since day one. We want to see this team go to the MLS championship game and potentially bring home another trophy. It would be an incredible story considering where we've been. And then, right, Mike, let's build and be good for the long term.
And I know that we've talked about it. And I'm not sure Garth's going to give us an answer later this hour, but we'll ask and we'll try and we'll make the case for, which I think it's pretty easy to do, Rob Valentino. You know, anytime he's been thrown into the interim job, it's because things haven't gone right with the previous coach or the roster's jacked up or injuries. And this time around, I mean, he's hit pay dirt.
Yep.
And I just don't understand. And I'll say it to you now, and I'll say it to Garth. I'll save my breath. But why bother spending Arthur Blank's money on some coach who may or may not work for millions more than what you got in the house, who seems to figure out how you make these guys work, right?
I think it is. It is going to be, just like with Darren Eales, who went through this a couple of different times, his biggest decision since he's become president. Because, Mike, these are the decisions that define your organization. And if we continue to go through managers, which, again, every soccer team seemingly does, but when you get one and you find one that works and it makes sense and things are going the way you should be looking for a manager every 2 years. And so hopefully that is our situation. Garth's going to join us coming up. We'll talk plenty about what's going on in college football. People are still talking about the committee and the decisions, and we'll dive into that because we got some big games coming up this weekend. Now, Georgia with UMass, listen, you think they're going to handle their business, and they should. But the other games surrounding how this playoff might look, there are some big ones, and we'll get into that. But, Mike, last night the Hawks fall 120-97 to the Golden State Warriors, and literally this thing was over after the first quarter.
We didn't play defense.
That's correct.
Okay, so you know all those good things I said this week about the Hawks? Forget I said all those things.
It was, they were shooting lights out. Golden State was playing great. We weren't. And when your stars don't play well, and Trey didn't last night, 4-for-12 with just 12 points, you're not going to win games. And so as a team, we just shot 26% from the three-point line and 33% from the field. Guys, those are not great numbers for those of you who are not following. And Golden State was shooting lights out.
Yeah, we shot 42 and change the other night in the win against Sacramento. So from Sactown to the Bay Area and then back down. Yeah, that's just brutal. And it was kind of tough because if you watch the first 5 minutes, we couldn't hit anything. You're looking for some momentum. Yeah, look, you're not going to maybe win or lose. Yes, you could lose the game in the first quarter, Carl. They missed everything to start the game.
They did. And so,
and I blame the floor. That between
ugly,
the corresponding lines of the Golden Gate Bridge overlaid with the arc and the painted area, I would get dizzy coming up the floor.
I didn't like the floor. I don't like our floor, to be honest with you.
No, that looks,
if you've seen our NBA Cup floor, I just feel like the three-point line's hidden. We could have added some more red, more color to it. Either way, I agree with you. Their floor is terrible. Celtics' floor, have you seen theirs? It's like all green.
That's tight. That one cuts glass, though. You know what? You know you're on a Boston basketball court.
Correct, and that's the thing. So let me hear Steph Curry being Steph Curry last night. This put him up 116-90. Again, Hawks lose at Golden State.
Right side to Curry. Curry fakes. Curry pushes off. Curry shoots a three and makes a three. So he's at his average of 23 now, so he can come out of the game. Warriors 116, Hawks 90.
Yeah, I wish. Steve Holman, I wish. Here's what's crazy about this. And, you know, every time you go, well, the Warriors aren't going to make another run. Well, they're done. They've won their four championships in, you know, 6 years or 8 years or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And they're not going to be any good. Guys, they're the best team right now in the Western Conference. And I don't know if it'll be that way at the end of the year, Mike. And that is without the other brother. That is Clay. He's gone.
Right. And, you know, they got the money, and they'll find a way. If they want to tweak it at the trade deadline, they will, because they've always found a great way to bring in and augment it, you know, going all the way back to Iguodala, right?
Yep.
Back in the
day. Right.
So, I mean, I think they'll be fine. And Trey, as you say, Curry. Now, again, as far as, you know, we talk about load management, the old Popovich thing. Yeah, you find a way to rest Curry so he's right and ready to go when it matters. Remember, guys, he had no time off. He played all the way through the summer.
He did.
That's one. I know we hate it, but if you're going to rest guys at home, fine. Just don't rest it when I get the one chance to see you on the East Coast.
I totally agree. Last night, Richashe 12. Jalen Johnson was back for 15. D. Hunter, 10.
Yeah.
10.
Yeah, well, that's, you know. Now, again, it was a beatdown. Even if he goes for 30, we're still getting smoked in that
it
one.
It was ugly. 41-22 was the first quarter score, and they jumped out, and then they outscored us, except for the third quarter. We come out and score 33 points to their 23, but at the end of the day, they come up short. Next up, by the way, Bulls. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the Thanksgiving Day, or Thanksgiving week, should I say, big week for the Hawks. Cavs come in, Mike. That's an NBA Cup game. And then I think they have another game at home. So next week, they get back here. But next up are the Bulls. Bottom line is, when you think things are going well and you feel really good about yourself after that Kings win, Warriors kind of put you back in your place. And you see,
right,
are we a championship-caliber team? No, not yet. We're not even close to that. But I feel like we're going to be competitive enough to do more in the Eastern Conference than we have
maybe,
in years past.
Maybe it was too much sourdough in San Francisco.
That'll
fill you up.
Could be.
I don't know. Either way, yeah, that was...
It's a great food town, man.
Oof, the best. The best, Jerry. Yeah, man, it's just, you know, I mean, this one is, I'm not selling you the Hawks, guys. As we say, we don't work for the Falcons. We are on the flagship. We're not getting paid by them. We just thought there were some really good things that we saw earlier this year, and I still think you're not defined. We're only 20% through the season. But, yeah, that one was one that you just burned that tape.
All right, 404-726-0929. You guys can hit us up. Find us on social media. We invite you to. He's Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes and the radio show. Dukes and Bell 929. Follow the radio station, guys, at 929 The Game and stay up on everything that's going on. Real quick, Mike, you know, you've been saying that Georgia should be upset with the college football playoff. You've been upset with the criteria. Real quick, I want you to hear Paul Feinbaum talk about this, because he is calling out also the committee and saying the team that should be most upset, considering the team that they beat last weekend, mm-hmm, was a top-ranked team in Tennessee. This is Feinbaum talking about it.
It's the Georgia Bulldogs, because when you showed that graphic, Greeny, you saw Georgia's opponents all over the place, including a Texas, the number three team in the country. They only beat Texas in Texas. And look, they played Alabama. At Alabama, they lost at Ole Miss, and they beat Tennessee. When you look at everyone else, Indiana doesn't have a ranked team. They'll get one this weekend. Penn State has lost to one. This committee is not serious. There are football coaches on this committee, and there's no way those football coaches can tell me or anyone else with a straight face that they really think Indiana, Penn State, Miami, schools like that are better than Georgia. It's not possible.
And that's why you've been saying if Georgia has to go to Happy Valley.
Right.
They're going to handle business.
I believe so. And look, that's the first time I've agreed with anything that man has said in about 10 years. Meanwhile, an hour ago, the commissioner of the Southeastern Conference, Greg Sankey, puts this out on Twitter. Interesting to read analysis from others as they examine, quote, strength of schedule, end quote, in college football. It does seem there is a trend to be identified. He takes a number of the old things we saw in the BCS, like the Sagarin and the Massey, along with ESPN strength of schedule, and he basically cut and paste it. Number one, Georgia. Number two, Alabama. Number three, Tennessee. Number four.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Texas A&M, number five, Ole Miss, number six, Texas.
All SEC?
Seems to be a trend here. Now, this is basically using three respected strength of schedule monitor, because again, everyone's got their own, to measure it. Meanwhile, Penn State, average 40. Ohio State, strength of schedule, average 47.7. Miami, 55. Notre Dame, 72. Indiana, 83. One versus 83. Now, I know I did go to Florida State, and I did get kicked out. I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but it's pretty self-explanatory. As we said yesterday, Carl, it is to drive conversation, but how do we know that they still – you're telling me all of a sudden when it matters, they're going to wait the strength of schedule? I'm worried about these guys. I don't know what they're thinking.
Well, listen, and I could be wrong about this, but I think that strength of schedule that you're talking about, and more likely, as I've talked about with Georgia beating, you know, three top 25 teams, is going to come into play at the end when the season is done and they go, oh – look at what they did this season, and the full resume is complete. Right now, to say that and put them in front of either one of those teams, Ole Miss or Alabama, it doesn't make sense. And I have no issues with that, with the committee. I think that's fine. The other part of this, though, is what Greg Sankey is saying is we have the best league in the country, and we're being disrespected by the way that you guys are handling these rankings right now. And we don't like it, and so let me help you. And that's why he put that out there. Listen, Sankey doesn't put a whole lot of stuff out there unless it's, you know, some kind of thing that's going to help the SEC in some way, shape, or form. Rules, regulations, et cetera. NIL portal. Right. This is purposely done to say, hey, committee.
Right.
Hey.
He's the second or third most, depending on who you're talking to, most important guy in all of college football.
Totally agree.
Maybe the number two. Maybe the number one. You know, it's either him or the conference chief of the Big Ten. But, yeah, he basically puts it out there. You said it early. Even Sankey, you know, Sankey kind of looked down, put his glasses down on the bridge of his nose and said, enough with the faking injuries after what we saw with Ole Miss. You know, he says that's not how the SEC works. And that was a message that was received.
Yeah. I like it. I hope you do, too. Bottom line, though, is when it's done, that's when this should come into play. And that's when you look at that and you go, wow, the top five teams, the strength of schedule? Okay, so let's rearrange this. And the other thing is, let's be honest, the committee has to be careful. You don't want to put all these SEC teams up against each other in the first round of the playoff. You want to make sure that, hey, there is a chance, as I've told you guys, there might be some rematches here. You say you don't want to see Georgia, Texas? Guess what? Committee's like, that's intriguing. Mm-hmm. You don't want to see Oregon, Ohio State again? The committee's like, that might look good somewhere else. So I think those things will play, but I also think the teams that are deserving, and we won't know fully, Mike, until after 2 weeks from now, who those teams are.